Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, award-winning radio icon, film pioneer, and 2023 Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Shadow Stevens.
Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Monet. I am Mark Leger, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
This is our 777th show. Why we invited Shadow Stevens on, because it's special. As a matter of fact, we've titled the show Shadow Stevens and His Kaleidoscope Life. Now, these are words of his, so we'll get to talk more about that when we have on. But here are my words. As a matter of fact, in the 777 or 76 episodes, I have never titled a monologue. This monologue is titled The First of Its Kind, and it's titled Sounds Like Shadow. So listening over the years to Shadow's voice on here and on there and so many different places, I had grown to I loved it right away and was impressed by it and enjoyed it and what he was doing. So as I would be watching television or I'd be driving around in the car and I'd hear a commercial come on, I'd say, sounds like Shadow. And so that kind of continued. Sounds like Shadow. And so now, every time we've had Shadow on the show, people would say, I saw you had Shadow on, or I see you have Shadow on. Did you know that he did such and such? And usually I'd know, because it'd be something like Hollywood Squares or Dave's World or the voice of Craig Ferguson or Fred Rated, because I went to school in San Diego. But America's Top 40, that almost always comes up. Anyway, I'd say, you know, I knew that. I knew that. Cool, huh? Right. But then they would mention something that I have almost invariably that I hadn't heard before. Like, did you know he does this, or did you know he did this? And it was always interesting and innovative. And I'd say, yeah, sounds like Shadow. Sounds like Shadow. And so then I came up with a different kind of sounds like Shadow moment. When I heard Shadow give his acceptance speech last year when he was inducted in the Radio Hall of Fame, first of all, I don't know what took them so long, but anyway, I was happy to see it. Congratulations to Shadow, was happy for it. And then I heard him do his acceptance speech. And, you know, when he started with something interesting. He started with a little bit of research and he shared it. It was funny. And we learned something. And I thought, yeah, sounds like Shadow. That's something Shadow would do. Then he started to mention other inductees and past inductees. And he used his short time on stage and his special moment in life to give honor to them. And in so doing, he was using his star power to shine light on their achievements. And that sounds like Shadow. And he went on to talk about his experience with drugs and alcohol, and how he overdosed and how he went to rehab. And that sounds like Shadow. And then, I've had the pleasure of getting to interview Shadow and meeting him in different places and seeing him at different places. And always he'll have something interesting to share, or he'll give praise to somebody or talk about some cool things that he's working on and say, you know, thanks to so-and-so and so-and-so. And so he, while he was giving his speech, started to thank people. He started with his parents and he started to give praise and thanks to his wife and his kids and even his son-in-law and grandchildren. And that sounds like Shadow. And then he ends his time on stage with a powerful and heartfelt public service, or shall I say, human service announcement. And this is exactly what he said. If you're going through hard times, don't be afraid to ask for help. never give up. If you never give up, you just don't know how good life might get. And that sounds like Shadow.
Oh, it does sound like Shadow. And that was a great reflection, Filippo. I had the great honor of connecting with Shadow through different medium, through his brilliance in technology and some of the things we were doing in the mid-2000s, and how far ahead he was in innovating in all of those areas. And then, of course, later on, we had him on the show and got to have him read some of the Big Galoot to
my
son Jet, who was a bit younger at the time. But the optimistical was something that I remembered when we first came across him. It's just one of limitless innovations and creativity. And I'm glad you shared all that, because I was going to ask before the show if you let him know that we were going to be live on the air, because I didn't want him to be nervous.
And that's funny. And with that, he's, as Mark said, an award-winning radio icon, radio, TV, film pioneer, advertising innovator, renowned writer, acclaimed artist. Really, we really, really could go on and on. Radio Hall of Fame inductee, and we're going to get to talk about his creation of mental radio. But here we have, welcome to this special show, Shadow Stevens.
Hola and hello.
Hola and hello. Of all the things.
We have to break the bubble there.
Always like... a surprise. Shadow, I was sharing with you today, and you seem to have a way of doing life that people don't ever get to. And in a weird sort of way, it feels like you started it early with drawing, at like early.
Well, that was my first obsession. And it really was, my mother taught me how to draw. And when I drew Tramp from Lady and the Tramp, and I did it really well, and she raved, and so I was hooked. It's like, oh, this is great. I can do this. She just encouraged me. And then when I was 8 years old, my dad, who was very entrepreneurial, I had an amazing childhood in Jamestown, North Dakota. My parents didn't drink or smoke or use drugs or curse or fight in front of the kids. We were not prepared for the real world. However, my dad, you know, owned toy stores and clothing stores and firework stands on the 4th of July, and at one point a go-kart track. And if he wanted a speedboat, he would buy 5 and sell 4 and keep one. We were put to work really early, and he brought home a Webcore tape recorder when I was 8. And I figured out a way to tell stories by telling a little bit and leaving it on record and pushing pause. Then I would line up a record or something and drop the little record in and push record again and then stop it and then tell more of the story. And I did this obsessively. And then it was a short time later, my uncle, who owned a couple of radio stations, heard about this, and he sent me a wireless transmitter that I would have to solder together. And I did. Mm-hmm. And then I learned how to soup it up. And then I put a 100-foot antenna from the top of my house to the a tree in the backyard. And I could broadcast a mile in every direction. And I did this obsessively. And then a year later, I was walking down the street in Jamestown. And the man on the street from a radio station did a little show in the morning called The Man on the Street. And he would just talk to people. He talks to me and says, well, what are you interested in? I went, oh, art and radio. Really? And I tell him about my little radio station. He goes, well, you should come down and see us. So I did, and they put me on the air at 11 as the world's youngest disc jockey, and I had a regular weekly show playing, you know, all my favorite music, Little Richard and Fats Domino and Chuck Berry and mostly black music, ironically. And, you know, and talking about what's going on in town. and I, you know, continued to do that. And when I was in high school, I drew monster t-shirts in the mall and, you know, got real good with airbrush. And so I was like this way and that way. I'm always doing something. It's like crazy obsessive.
But it's fascinating to me that you are doing all of that now.
I know, it's so true.
All of it together.
My life in small dark rooms talking to myself, frankly.
it's uncanny, as if you were like setting up what you would do for the rest of your life. And what's interesting also is that I'm not going to say you weren't afraid, but you did say no to things that seemed like great opportunities. Like, how could he say no to that? How could he leave that job? How could he fire himself, so to speak? Or you know, what gave you that strength, that confidence to say, it's not how I want it, I'm leaving?
Well, you know, I was made program director of a Los Angeles radio station when I was 24. I didn't ask for it. I had been hired there. I'd come out to Los Angeles because I did really well in Boston. And I had a full-time position without being on the air full-time. It was like a full-time relief. And my deal was that I would get the next best, you know, the next full-time job. And during that time, I was put on television with legendary Steve Allen as his sidekick. And it was, you know, popular for a moment in time. And when it came time to promote me, they didn't, because they didn't know whether I'd want to be in television or radio. And I said, are you insane? Television promotes radio, promotes television, promotes radio. It's like a win for every... Well, no. I said, well, you don't have to give me a raise. Just put it in my contract that I'll get the next full-time position. They said, no. I said, okay, well, I'm going to have to leave because I'm not going to be subject to your whims. And I didn't have a job, but I was hired by their competition within days. And they put me on in the afternoon, and I was unhappy. I said, why are we playing the same music they are? You should be playing album music, you know, that everybody I know. I'm 24 years old, and I did the research. And I went to Billboard, and I found out the sales, and I went to the general manager and I said, here's what we should be playing. This is all I want. Now, meanwhile, I'm at Art Center School, going to art school part-time. And he fires the program director and makes me program director. It's like, oh my God. I'm like, what? Well, what? Then I have to figure out what I'm going to do. So I figured out the format that I wanted. I hired the best people that I knew in the whole world, like B. Mitchell Reed. He wouldn't know that today, but at that moment, he was a huge personality, great guy. Brother John Radgren, all these people that were really, really talented. And I wrote 50 jingles and produced them and went on the air with really funny promotions. And it got really popular, and it beat KHJ, the station I was at before. And then
that had to have felt really good, just that alone.
it was amazing. And then management comes to me and they said, you know, we're gonna you have to do this and you have to do that, and you're gonna have to change this. I'm going, what? If I do that, it's going to fail, and I'm going to be blamed, and you're going to ruin my career. No. So I resigned, and my resignation was a drawing. And I did this drawing of a very old man with lots of wrinkles, or with wings. And it said, last night a vision appeared unto me. And it said, quit, my child. There's no hope. And so I have to obey, and I am going. And I just wanted to be on the air. Just let me go back to art school and be a personality. So I do that. And the new guy comes in, and they do what they want to do. And one day he calls me and he says, I'm going to have to let you go. I go, why? He goes, well, you're always walking around here smiling. I know you're cynical about what I'm doing, and I can't. There's no place for that. But are you insane? I'm the only happy person here. I'm going to art school. I like being on the air. And I talk to him for 2 hours, and he has to stick with his original decision. So I go in to the accountant, and the accountant glares at me. And he goes, I hope you go out and spend every last penny in the next 2 weeks, and then maybe you'll come to the meaning of life. I said, what's the meaning of life, Don? He goes, management is God. And I went, I feel sorry for you. It's true. And this is absolutely true. He thumped his finger on the table. He went, they put the food in your mouth, thump, and the roof over your head, thump. Management, thump, is thump, God, thump.
Wow.
He went, okay, well, I'm leaving now. Goodbye. And then they hired me back a few weeks later for more money. And then K-Rock came along, and they made me an offer I couldn't refuse. I mean, I could go on with these stories forever, but I mean, the truth is that many times when I quit, it was simply because I was being ordered to do something that I knew was either unethical or would fail or was stupid, and they wouldn't change their mind. And I went, no, if I'm going to work this hard, I'm going to go for bigger stakes, because I always worked harder than everybody else. I came in early. I stayed late. I did production. I did writing. I came up with promotions. I ran the station. I was on the air at the same time. You couldn't get a more dedicated employee. If that's not enough, well, I'm going to go into advertising. So I did.
Yeah, and you blew that up too.
Well, not at first. You know, that took, you know, maybe 5 years of 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. And then I started having some success. And we ended up doing all the advertising for the Blues Brothers movie and Fast Times at Ridgemont High and 48 Hours. And then along came Federated, because I'd been doing their competition. And that was another thing. I did University Stereo, and they went from bankrupt to doing really well. And then they started doing something unethical. They took me for granted, and I quit. And Federated hired me, and I did their radio, and then all of a sudden I was given a chance to do their television, and I said, how about if I do a fast-talking bassomatic pitch man, a Dan Aykroyd kind of parody of a pitch man? I'll talk 100 miles an hour, and at the end I'll say Federated smashes prices, and I'll smash a television with a giant circus hammer. I went, that's hilarious. Okay. Well, let's give it a try. And I said, if I do and it works, will you give me creative control? Because I never want to do the same thing twice, or people will want to kill me. And the president of the company rolled his eyes and said, sure. And that weekend, business went up 500%. It was like an overnight success. And I went on to do 1,100 commercials for them, like 6 to 8 new television commercials a week for the next 6 years.
It was like a show. Like, I remember at school during my university days in San Diego, people would say, did you see Fred Rated last night on this show or that show? The commercial would come on, and it was like, did you see, like, we would talk about it. It's a thing. It still is a thing.
But they were, some of them were really funny. I had a great team, and it was me and like 6 guys. I had all my own equipment. I had my own post-production studio. I had lighting. We met on Monday, would write, brainstorm, write, have them written by the end of the day, prepare on Tuesday, shoot on Wednesday, edit on Thursday, and turn them in Friday, and then go home for the weekend or do whatever we're going to do. And it was hilarious. It was more fun than I've ever had doing anything in my life.
So you do look like you have a lot of fun. And then there's that period of time, and I know that you work on stuff where you talk about the mental health stuff and the drugs and alcohol and all of that. And I said to you something like, for somebody who has had so many accolades and has been shown over and over again how brilliant you are, and you've been on television and radio at the top of the game, advertising, etc., etc., if you still have doubts about yourself. What about everybody else in the world that hasn't had a hundredth or a millionth of the kind of accolades and proof that you're amazing that you have had? How do we live?
Well, you know, with a quick backstory, I got into drugs just to get things done. And it started really innocently with prescription, you know, basically with speed. I didn't know that at the time. I just knew that it allowed me to have more energy and get more done. And that's all I wanted to do. And then little by little, that led to more. And then that led to, just a little weed. It's like a plant. It doesn't like it leads to heroin. And then it's acid. And then it's psychedelics. And then it's mescaline. And then it's peyote. And then it's magic mushrooms from the Amazon. And then it's crystal meth because there isn't any cocaine. And this went on, you know, it was cumulative. It got worse and worse and worse. And I was getting a lot done, but was starting to fall apart. I was getting quite successful, but I could see it. And I gained 50 pounds because I didn't stop eating either. I drank and I used and I worked and I, you know, just kept going until I had, like I told in the story, you know, I had an overdose in my studio. My friends found me and my family ganged up on me, and I went into a rehab. And and it was there that I realized, oh, you just don't do anything. Oh, well, what do you do? Well, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to suffer. And that means I don't want to suffer by being an addict. I don't want to suffer by having to drink every day. I don't want to suffer by having to rely on anything that has consequences. What do I do? And over the years, you know, there has been a great awakening of my willingness to do whatever is necessary not to suffer. And that has led to a lot of study of religion and spiritual pursuits. It's led to mental health. It's led to me working with a great company that specializes in mental health and severe depression and despair and suicidal ideation and drug and alcohol abuse and pill abuse and all of the rest of it. And as sort of an adjunct therapist, because I've spent so many years studying the harmony of religion and how to break down spiritual concepts. And then it's a matter of discipline. And it starts simple enough. It's like micro disciplines, little things that you make yourself do no matter what every day. So if it's meditation, even if it's only 5 minutes, if I do it 5 minutes every day, pretty soon it blossoms and you get deeper and you go within deeper. And then pretty soon you want to learn more powerful ways of meditation. And the more you're curious, the more is revealed, and the more you practice, the greater it gets and the greater the rewards. Until, like I told you, it is you get to a place where your body gets so quiet and your mind and heart get so quiet that your body feels like the skin of a soap bubble and you stop breathing and you are consumed in pure awareness, that transcendental consciousness that is the I am, or the witness, or the soul, or the spirit, or the divine spark within. And you realize that the deeper you go, the deeper there is to merge into. And that is powerful. And that alone, because it's all about focus, you learn how to focus, and the more you practice focus, the better you get at focusing. So it affects everything in your life. It affects your relationships. It affects your ability to learn new things. It affects your control of your emotions. And that combined with, you know, spiritual pursuits and interests, it all comes down to, and I really believe this, and I told you this when we were talking earlier. If you've read Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, which, for those who don't know, was written by a man who was in a concentration camp, one of four. And everything was taken away from him, including his life's work. And he realized he had to get, he had to reproduce his manuscript. And what he realized is that most of the people who were dying weren't the ones who were being exterminated or put in gas chambers. They were ones who had lost something to live for, hope, something to believe in. And he started writing his notes on little scraps of paper that he would find, and he would hide them away. And he did this through four different concentration camps, almost dying of typhoid, and then they're liberated. And it was always in pursuit of something. And he writes this book in 9 days, and he was going to call it Choose Life in Spite of Everything. And he was talked into putting his name on it and calling it Man's Search for Meaning. And in it, he talks about concepts like tragic optimism. Tragic optimism, meaning optimism in the face of all evidence to the contrary, which is perfect for the way we are today, surrounded by doomsday and the assault of horrifying things that are happening that we're aware of every minute of our lives. And the other is that man is not meant to find equilibrium. Man is at his best when he's struggling and striving toward a freely chosen goal. And it's up to us to choose that goal, and these goals may change. But what's important is that you take action, because you can't think your way happy. You can't think your way happy. You have to act. And part of that action is writing. So if you wake up in the morning and you feel terrible, and you write down the date and you say, I woke up feeling terrible. It's, I've got gloom and it looks like it's all over and the world is ending and the apocalypse is upon us and what's the use? And I'm writing all this down and saying, but, you know, you get down the page and you start going, but on the other hand, you know, I can still breathe and I'm not sick and I'm not in pain and I can see. And I have family, and I have things I care about, and it's the practice of looking for what's right, because we're predisposed to being afraid, and that's in our DNA to protect ourselves. So we have to nurture optimism. We have to look for what's right. We have to, you know, and it all comes down to the same thing about spirituality. What do you believe in? Write it down. See how much you believe in by writing it down. What are the things that seem reasonable to accept? Let's not talk about mythology. Let's not talk about dogma. Dogma, the rules and regulations of a particular faith for getting to the what? God? Oh, that makes me uncomfortable. To the infinite what? To the almighty mover? To the creator? The original source? The original operating system? That something that created perfect order and beauty throughout all of creation.
Shadow, your talk about, I mean, that was very powerful and profound, and thank you for sharing. And you were right, actually. I was, when we were talking, I said, I know you probably wouldn't share this on the radio. And you said, no, I would. And you did, and thank you. And I wish we could even go deeper, because you, I know you do. But this is actually deep, pretty deep. You have mental radio. So mentalradio.net actually is, if it's almost as soon as you log in any of the show, actually it's the jingle you'll hear. So talking about doomsday, this is perfect. Don't forget the world is ending. I mean, it's such a catchy tune. Don't forget the world is ending. Don't forget to be afraid. Don't forget to keep pretending you got it made. And it goes on and on and on. What is going on there?
It's making fun of being afraid. It's because you can't get it. I'm writing another one now because we're working on Metal Radio Live as a live theater.
Yes.
Live music. And it's really got amazing ideas. And the whole way Mental Radio started was on March 1st of 2020, the world is going to shut down. And it was terrifying for everybody. And I sat here and I have my own studio and I can do whatever I can think of. And because I've had a lot of successes, but I've had a lot of failures, and each failure taught me another skill. And now I have all these skills that I had to put to work. And I decided I would write something funny and uplifting. And I started writing the mythology behind it, and then I started writing the sketches and the little stories and adventures. And I was doing it all myself and doing all the voices and the characters. And then all of a sudden I attracted a writing partner who wanted to contribute, and he was brilliant, Joshua Weinstein. And then I got music from Chuck Serino, who was my director of the Federated commercials, who's also, he's really an extraordinary artist. He does everything, and including doing amazing music work as a composer. And I called him and I said, do you have music that you own the rights and publishing to? I'm doing this thing and here's a story and I'm doing this. I'm trying to make people happy. I'm trying to give them a way to reframe everything and to see, you know, I called it subversive optimism. And he said, yes, I've been paid to do all these movies that didn't come out. You can have whatever you want. And he opened up his library and all of a sudden I had cinematic quality music that is as good as any movie you've ever seen. I started writing with these things in mind, and all of the characters expanded and the storylines expanded, and it got to be really interesting. So now, you know, going into 4 years later, there are 26 episodes, half-hour episodes. They are, it's been called Audio Acid and Spiritual Crack. I have 25 pages of rave reviews and 275,000 downloads and some really spectacular quotes from people that are quite funny. And in it, we make fun of being afraid. And don't forget the world is ending. Don't forget to be afraid. It's like catchy and haunting. And it says, your best years are behind you, so sit alone in your room, watch a little TV, and wait for impending doom. You know, pills for this, pills for that, plates of tainted meat, polluted air, Lyme disease, ain't quite making you move your feet. Gotta try to be happy. Gotta try to be happy. Gotta try to be happy. And that's where we're doing one now called, What Are You Gonna Do About Doomsday? What Are You Gonna Do About Now? What are you going to do about doomsday? What about right about now? And right about now is where we have to be, because doomsday, what are we going to do about it? Nothing. Are we going to, you know, fret and mope and vent, or are we going to get busy with something that might make us happy, that might be worth reaching for, that might be worth helping someone else, that might be something positive in a world gone mad? Because the world is mad. But it kind of has always been mad. And we have to find in ourselves the ability to find that inner source and centering that finds strength and the ability to try. So what happens when we try? Well, let's say that we start a project and we write down, I want to do this, I'm just thinking about this, and this is an idea. And then you start writing words that come to you. And then as you write, as you start creating this body of thought. Now it's out of my head, so it isn't being corrected. It isn't being restricted or edited. It is brainstorming. You write any word that comes to your mind, any thought that comes to your mind, and then you start thinking, oh, what about this? So now, what if I said, a snake charmer with a limp, an angel had blue eyes, the aroma of pork, of humor, and the taste of pork and a hint of goat, you know, anything. It's like, now, I don't know where any of this is going for, but as you do this, you start to see potential. Now you start researching the thing around the thing that you're interested in doing, and you find things that talk to you, and you write those down. It's the same thing with religion. You find out what you believe, and you write it down. You say, you look at physicists and say, what do the great minds say about spirituality? And then you find these wonderful quotes that are things that you write down, and then you go, well, I got to remember that. And they become a body of evidence, a foundation for my belief in something that has form, that has created all of this. I can visualize this based on this body of evidence. The body of evidence of the creation I'm trying to do, the thing I'm trying to come up with, is, you know, in the work. It all comes about in the work. So now I get a little excitement by it. And now I'm seeing it everywhere. I'm seeing it. I'm getting clues from people talking in Starbucks or on television or in a billboard. Or, you know, it's like you're looking for these ideas and you write down every idea. I carry notebooks with me everywhere and my phone, and I use them both. And when I write these notes down, I don't know where, if they're going to mean anything. But, you know, I write, you know, a pharmaceutical called Drulolot. Get Drulolot, free raincoat with every prescription. I don't know if this is going to turn into anything, but my mind is actively seeking these things that reaffirm what I'm doing. So mental radio came out of this kind of nurturing, of this kind of paying attention and putting one foot in front of the other. So now after I've been doing this for a few days or a few weeks, now I'm starting to see potential. And out of the potential, I get enthusiasm. And as I continue with my enthusiasm, because it gives me energy, now I get inspiration. And the inspiration comes from who knows where. It's like the muse, and it talks to you. And now I'm writing things like from Metal Radio. I have a character called Guy Good. It's a Western. And Guy and his sidekick Gabby are heading across the desert, hoping to to stop the gloom before it hits the big city. Suddenly there's screams, and they're going, why me, why me, why me? It's the why me's, victims. They look for someone to blame, and they go mad. They've got guns. They're zombies with guns. So Guy and Gabby have to get away from the whimies, and they end up at a saloon talking to the owner, Lemon Soufflé. He says, I got a feeling there's a flare-up on a rampage over in Decadence, and we got to put a whammy on it before it takes down the whole caboodle. She goes, a flare-up? And he goes, yeah, a lot of gunk build up among the whackouts and the flatulence. You can smell them coming. Yep, the stink of too much and the hint of skunk. It all comes from notes, like notes. Notes that go back 4 years, pages, pages of notes. And when I get stuck, I go to my notes. I'm just giving you the clues. This is how to do it. And you get enthusiasm, and you get inspiration, and you're not obsessing about yourself. And don't forget, the world is ending, you know?
Nice.
And just like, let's sing about gloom and confusion, everything we've got to fear. Let's make a long list of our dreads and insist on being unhappy and moan. Fa-la-la, groan, fa-la-la, die, fa-la-la, wonder why, oh.
We just got a taste of like the behind the scenes of how mental radio starts to happen. Mentalradio.net. You owe it to yourself to go and just start a show. Pick a show, any show. Start it.
Free app too.
You should
know that for
I
both.
Didn't.
For Google Play and Apple, you just go and search Mental Radio as one word. And in it, there's more than there is on the website. There are things that never were part of any story because they didn't fit in. But sketches or parodies or satires that are just fun to listen to. There's also a way to listen to all of, because I do talk about meditation in every episode. You might start with chapter 16 called Space. And it's where the production values really came together and the ideas got really outrageous. And it talks about space and the infiniteness of all that is, but then talks about, is the space between our ears any different? Is the space between thoughts any different than the light years across the universe? And it uses, if you listen with earphones, sounds come from behind you, they spin around in your head, characters move around, the sounds are far left and far right. It's very trippy.
So, yeah, as a matter of fact, you'll get a taste of why a mental radio live version is going to be out of this world, quite literally. So we're going to have to know more about that the closer we get. And this is very exciting for the world. Shadow, we thank you for giving us a glimpse into your not only kaleidoscope life, but a behind the scenes of your kaleidoscope creation of mental radio. Again, mentalradio.net. Wish we had more time, but I don't think there is any time that's enough. Shadow, you're amazing, and thank you so much.
Well, I love you guys and always have from the very beginning. I can't believe it's 777 shows.
Yeah.
I was there when you started them. And
yep.
Knocked out by him then, and I know you've been carrying the message for all these years. God bless you.
Well, you're doing your
project.
Thank you. You're saving the world one laugh at a time, and we're doing it with one guest at a time like you. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Always a pleasure. Shadow Stevens and Mental Radio at mentalradio.net. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Vivian, and my boss told me to be careful of getting too close to my coworkers because familiarity breeds contempt. This phrase and his suggestions make me feel uneasy. I want to know the people I work with and have been excited about becoming more familiar with them. Should I distance myself from my coworkers as the boss suggests, or is it okay for me to get to know them better?
Dear Vivian, thank you for this wonderful question. I looked up the phrase, familiarity breeds contempt, online, and this is the definition I got. The more acquainted one becomes with the person, the more one knows about his or her shortcomings, and hence, the easier it is to dislike that person. I find this definition questionable, because the more familiar I can become with someone, the better I know them, and this allows me to relate to them in a more positive way. I believe this is a time for all of us to get to know the people we spend the most time with. And by becoming more familiar with who they are and what kind of people they are, the better choices we can make with how to occupy our time and who to spend it with, so we can grow and become better people ourselves. It appears to me that those who use the phrase familiarity breeds contempt and live by it are probably more judgmental than accepting of human frailties. For way too many years, I was extremely judgmental until I realized that much of what I disliked in others, I was doing myself. I also came to understand that we don't know anyone else's story and have no clue as to how they have become who they are today. So I now make a consistent, conscious effort to be an observer and not judge, jury, and executioner. I look for the love they express and focus on that. This has helped me find the beauty in so many people, and I am blessed by being able to relate to them. Since getting to know your coworkers is important to you, I encourage you to do it outside of the office so as not to annoy your boss, since he has warned you to not get close to them. I trust you will find some balance here and look forward to hearing of your progress.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And it's time for our performance guest, who is a spiritual neo-soul singer, a songwriter, and producer, Monet. Welcome, Monet, to the Life Changes Show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we've been wanting to, it's our pleasure, and we've been wanting to have this pleasure for quite a while. It's been a couple of months, actually. And when we finally were able to coordinate with your schedule and our schedule, we picked this date before we even knew this was our episode 777. Now, this is really interesting. Why?
Well, my first ever project is titled 777. I have it tattooed on me. It's my angel number. So when you told me that, I was like, wow, look at the alignment. Insane.
The alignment is amazing. And actually, in a little bit, we're going to hear your, well, the EP is called 777. And on that project, you have a song called 777. And so it couldn't be more perfect. So there's a journey here. What's the journey?
Yeah, like through the song.
Yeah. And the whole project, yeah. Actually.
Yeah. So 777, you know, it's my first ever musical project, and I'm bringing you through my spiritual journey. You know, the first song on the project is called Awake, and it's kind of just, you know, awakening you to, you know, listen to what I have to say about, you know, manifesting in my life. And, you know, the last one on the project is called Rest. So I'm really bringing you through my spiritual journey and kind of bringing some insight on, you know, what has helped me. So, yeah.
So Neo Soul actually takes on a couple different meanings.
Mm-hmm.
For what I'm getting, you're speaking not only of your soul as in the spiritual journey, but you're talking about soul music, right?
Yes, yes, yes. You know, my influences obviously are like Sade and Erykah Badu, who are the perfect, you know, people that talks about, you know, their soul. And when you listen to their music, you know, like Erykah Badu and stuff, you can hear through her music, she is talking from the soul. And so that's why, you know, Neo Soul for me is just this exploration, like you said, of the soul. And hopefully, you know, my music can do as such.
Well, Monet, we're going to hear it right now, and I know we're going to feel it as well. Here is 777, pre-recorded by Monet here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition. Monet on the Life Changes Show. I'm going to spell that for everyone. Monet is M-O-N-E-A. Now, if you want to find her, she's on Instagram, TikTok. She's on social media as Monet of the Moon. M-O-N-E-A of the Moon. Monet, what's of the moon?
Yeah, so, you know, the reason behind that name is really I tie all of my music releases in conjunction with the full moon. So when I release, it's on the full moon, and I will do some stuff with the new moon as well. But, you know, I feel really connected with the moon. You know, my first ever song that I made, it's titled Universe. It's also on that project 777. You know, I was looking up at the moon, and I was like, I wondered what it would say to me, you know, and I wrote Universe. So that's, you know, I feel a strong connection with the moon, and, you know, the moon is very powerful, and yeah.
Well, that song and others are available at Apple Music, right? And in the R&B playlist, right?
Yes.
And other platforms as well. So we have links at the Life Changes Show for Monet, or you can find her again on Instagram and TikTok at Monet of the Moon. So before we go into this next song, which is called Lover, so many of your songs are about self-love and unity and self-worth, right? So before we go into love of another person, it seems that love of self is important.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Self-love is very important. And that's why, you know, all of my music, except for like this newer one that you're about to play, it's been about self-love, because that's the journey that spiritual journey that I've been on, because I'm only 22 years old. It's been a journey, that self-love journey, you know, being a female in this society, and learning, you know, that self-love, and learning not to look at societal standards and, you know, stuff like that. So I wanted to make sure that when people listen to my music, females, males, everybody, you know, they can feel that self-love that I kind of radiate, that can, you know, bring that to themselves. So,
I wasn't going to mention your age. I knew you were very young. I knew your age. So, but I was wondering, how did you get to be so wise at such a young age?
Yeah, I have great family and great parents. And again, I've just been super into meditation. When I was entering high school, I believe we're all on a spiritual journey from the day we're born, but I really dove deep into my mind and my body and my heart when I was in high school. So I was the girl who was meditating and talking, you know, reading self-help books and stuff like that. So I think that's why I've gained some good amount of stuff, and I have really awesome parents. So
that is awesome. Good on you, and good on your parents. Now, before we actually get to hear this song, Lover, of course, the title is the title, the words are the words, and the music, it gets in there.
Tell us about that. Yeah, so this track is very special to me because it's something different. I have some jazz infusion in there and kind of like that lo-fi style. I wanted to integrate both of those with neo-soul, and that's kind of the direction of sound that I want to go towards. But yeah, this song, I heard this beat when I was on the way to New York, and I love New York, and I was like, it just reminded me so much of a love in the city, you know, under the bright lights, and it's just, yeah, and there's a saxophone in there. It's just very, it's a very chill song, but lively at the same time. And I would really say that it brings that energy of the city, but falling in love in the city. And yeah, I love the song so much.
Yeah, so do I. So let's go ahead and play it. Here is Monet's pre-recorded song, Lover, on the Life Changes Show Online Edition.
Hey,
Monet, M-O-N-E-A, and that was Lover. Her music is available on Apple Music and where music is sold. But find her on social media at Monet of the Moon. Again, M-O-N-E-A, Monet of the Moon. I got to give a shout out and a big thank you to Sage Raider and Pete Rango for introducing us to Monet. Monet, you've got really quickly a great project you're doing with them too, right?
Yeah, so I Sage and Pete were on the show before.
They sure were.
Yeah, they talked to me about how they enjoyed it so much. But yeah, we're working on some beats for Breath Church, which is Sage's company. You know, they do breath work, and we make some beats for them, and it's the best community ever.
Well, you know, there's going to be more of that, and there's going to have to be more of you, so... Monet, thank you so much for being on the show and bringing us this spiritual neo soul and all this other kind of soul that you're bringing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me on here. It was amazing.
What a pleasure. You're amazing. All the best to you, Monet.
Thank you.
And with that, a big thank you to Monet. Another big thank you to our friend and interview guest, Shadow Stevens. And with that, that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeune, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.